Exodus chapter 32. And our text for this morning is there in the verse 5. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Mongrel, apostate religion is what Israel participated in there in the wilderness. The law of Moses had three grand divisions: the moral law, the civil law, and the ceremonial law. The moral law, of course, is found in the Ten Commandments. Then we find the civil law recorded for us in Exodus 21, 22, and 23. And finally, the ceremonial law is there recorded in the book of Leviticus. When the moral law and the civil laws had been given, God called Moses, Exodus 24, verses 1 and 2, "Come up unto the Lord." Come up the mount, of course. And it was while Moses was there, alone with God, the top of Mount Sinai, that he was given the Ten Commandments on tables of stone, written by the finger of God. And when the children of Israel looked towards Sinai, they beheld, we're told, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount. Chapter 24, verse 17. Then we are told, "And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights." Exodus 24, verse 18. Now we are told, Moses, before he went up that mount, he left Aaron and Hur in charge of the camp. If there was any problem or any questions to be answered, the people were to go to Aaron and to Hur. We see that in chapter 24, verse 14. Now, alone with God, Moses given the design and the details relating to the building of the tabernacle. We find that, those details and instructions, in chapters 25 through to 31. Then, just at the end of the 40 days, God informed Moses. He said, "Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." Chapter 32 and verse 7. In the absence of Moses, the children of Israel corrupted themselves by participating in what I have described as a mongrel religion. You know what a mongrel dog is? It's made up of a number of different breeds. It's not purebred. Children of Israel participated in a mongrel religion. A religion in which they sought to combine the worship of God and the worship of idols. So it wasn't going to be pure worship. It was going to be a mongrel form of worship and a mongrel form of religion. The worship of God, so-called, and the worship of idols. As we consider this mongrel religion, let us first of all see what led to this form of religion. And we notice first of all the complaint in the camp of Israel. Moses may not have known what was taking place while he was up there in the Mount Sinai. He did not know what was taking place down below in the camp in his absence, but God knew. Chapter 32, verse 7, "Go, get thee down, for my people, which thou brought us out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." So the Lord knew what Israel had done. You look again at verse 9. "And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people." So while Moses, as he communed with God in the mount, had no idea what was going on below, God saw everything. First of all, we see what brought about this corruption. Moses, or God, said the people had corrupted themselves. So what brought about this corruption? First of all, we notice the problem. Before he went up into the mount, Moses told the people, "Tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you." 24 verse 14. But Israel was not willing to quietly wait for the return of Moses. We have read that in the opening verse of chapter 32. "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." Israel was not willing to wait for Moses to descend the mount. That was their problem. Their problem was, first of all, they were impatient. After almost 40 days waiting, they were not prepared to wait any longer. Moses would only come down the mount when it was God's time. Moses went up the mount when God called him up. And Moses would only come down the mount when God would tell him to do so. Moses was completely in the hands of the Lord. But as far as Israel was concerned, they were not prepared to wait for God to tell Moses to come down. They were not prepared to wait on God's timing when God's servant would come down the mount. But then, when you think of it, it's a problem that we all face from time to time. We're impatient. We're impatient. We don't want to wait for God to do things. For example, we find it difficult to wait for God to answer our prayers. We want our prayers answered now, today. And we find the difficulty with, we're impatient. Just as the psalmist said, Psalm 40, verse 17, Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. And so there you have the psalmist. And he didn't want God to tarry. He didn't want God to wait. He wasn't prepared to wait. Make no tarrying, O my God. You remember the words of Habakkuk the prophet, where the Lord said, Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. In other words, wait for it. It will come in God's time. God will answer your prayers according to His time, not ours. And though Moses might tarry, he would surely come down the mount in God's timing. But unfortunately, Israel was not prepared to wait for Moses to come down. And their impatience led them to gross sin. You have their impatience. You have their insults. Notice how disparagingly the people spoke about the one who had led them out of Egypt. They said in verse 1, As for this Moses, we wot not what has become of him. As for this Moses. Notice, this is how they referred to God's chosen servant, this Moses. They didn't refer to him as our Moses, our leader. No, this Moses. They insulted the man of God by their words and their actions. In other words, they couldn't be bothered waiting. This Moses, where is he? Their complaint that they did not know what had become of Moses was inexcusable, as well as being scornful. They knew perfectly well where Moses was. Moses told them, Tarry ye here until he would come down the mount. They knew where he was. This is how they referred to God's chosen servant as this Moses. But this carnal attitude is no new thing. I have known over the years of certain churches when things have not been going well in a particular church. The people have taken out their frustration. Who? On the minister. And I have known at the same time that in those times of trouble, the poor minister was doing his best. And the trouble was not his fault. But they had to blame somebody. And in their carnal attitude, of course they would blame the minister. In the carnal attitude of the children of Israel, they blamed Moses. As for this Moses. Should always remember what God said, Psalm 105, verse 15. Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Do my prophets no harm. And anyone speaks disparagingly of a servant, true servant of God, they are touching the apple of the Lord's eye. Touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. As well as the problem, we see here the plea. Here we see that the people gathered themselves together and came to Aaron and said, "Up, make us gods which shall go before us." Verse 1. It's quite amazing that the children of Israel had turned so soon from the Lord into idolatry, into this mongrel religion, in less than 40 days. That's what the Lord said there in verse 8. He told Moses, "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them." But then we should not be amazed nor surprised when we remind ourselves of the state of the human heart. Can you trust the heart? No. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. "The heart is deceitful, and above all things desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And inside 40 days, Israel had turned from God and wanted Aaron to make them a calf, make them an idol, to go before them, to lead them. We can see how despiteful and wicked man's heart is when we consider the children of Israel and their behavior. Their plea for an idol speaks to us, first of all, about the law of God. Israel wasted no time in trampling underfoot the commandments of God. When they asked for this idol and wanted the idol to lead them, to be their God, they broke 3 out of the 10 commandments. We know that in the verse chapter 20. We've already considered the 10 commandments. But when they asked for this idol and said, "This idol will lead us, and this idol will be your God," they broke 3 of the commandments. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." They broke that one. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." They broke that one. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Well, that's exactly what they did when they looked at that idol and they said, "This is the God that will lead us." That's blasphemy. They were taking the name of the Lord their God in vain. I'll tell you something else. They broke another commandment. They broke the 7th commandment. What's the 7th? "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And when they had Aaron make that idol and set it up and worshipped it, they did eat and drink and they rose up to play. And when Moses came down from the mount, what did he see? He saw the people naked. The people were naked. It's hard to take in, isn't it? They trampled God's law underfoot. They said up, they said there, and up make us gods, plural, not just one God. But they not only transgressed that first three commandments, as was said, they also broke the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. We learn something here. When a man removes God, his word, and his laws out of his life, there's no telling how far down in sin that individual will go. They will behave in such a way, as Paul said in Romans 3, and there in verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. But just turn up that portion, Romans 3, and you'll see what went before Paul spoke those words. You go to Romans 3 and verse 10, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Romans 3. Verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. That's what happened to Israel. They've gone out of the way. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then you read a list of the wicked behavior of individuals. And why do they behave that way? Verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And there's the children of Israel, and they're worshipping idols, and they're saying, these idols are the idols that brought us out of Egypt. These are our gods, and they will lead us on. Such blasphemy. That's what a mongrel religion will produce. And they trampled underfoot the laws of God. There was no fear of God before their eyes. As well as the laws of God, we think also of their language to God, what they said to God. What did the children of Israel say when the Ten Commandments were first given to them and accompanied by that terrible demonstration of God's presence there on the top of the mount, the thunderings and the lightnings? What did they say? Well, in Exodus 19, in verse 8, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now go on over to Exodus 24 and verse 3. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice, no dissenters, with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, will we do. Now go down to verse 7 of chapter 24. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. They added that. All that the Lord has said we will do and we'll be obedient. When they saw the terror of the Lord in Sinai, they promised to obey God and His word and be obedient. But then what do we see here? We see that talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Their words were merely empty words. When they were put to the test inside 40 days, they broke their word to the Lord as well as broke God's word. But then that's the way it is, isn't it? When someone's going through a hard time and there is trouble or a trial in their life, they'll promise God anything. But when the trial has passed and the dark clouds have cleared and the sun is shining again, they forget all about their promises. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5, it's better not to vow, better not to make a promise, than make a promise and not keep it. So there you have the language of the children of Israel, what they promised the Lord. We'll do it, and we'll obey. Inside 40 days, they broke their promise and turned from true worship to a mongrel religion. As well as the problem and the plea, we notice the price. Aaron immediately, it's an amazing thing, Aaron immediately responded to the request of the children of Israel. They said, up, make us gods which shall go before us. Look at the next verse, verse 2. Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings. So there was no disputing with the children of Israel. There was no attempt to dissuade them. Once they wanted an idol made, Aaron responded immediately. Hard to take in. Aaron immediately responded to the request of the people and asked for their gold from their earrings, and all the people brake off their golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. He was a willing participant in this mongrel religion. The man whom Moses had left in charge of the camp along with her. No sooner had Aaron asked for the golden earrings than the people handed them over freely. Know what it says? And Aaron said, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears, and the wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings. No dispute. Yep, we'll do it straight away. No argument. No hesitation. The people did not show any reluctance in handing over their gold for their idols. It's interesting. When Moses was in the mount, the Lord told Moses with regard to the building and the design of the tabernacle. The Lord told Moses to go to the people when they would go down the mount and gather their gold, because the gold would be used in the construction of the tabernacle. So they would be asked to give their gold for the Lord's work. They would be asked to give their gold for the Lord's work, namely the tabernacle. I wonder, were they as willing to give the money or to give their gold for the Lord's work as they were for the building of this idol? And like so many things here relating to the children of Israel and their mongrel religion, we see what they did is done today. Men will spare no expense in pursuing their sins. They'll spare no expense in doing what they want to do. But when it comes to giving to God's work, that's a different matter altogether. And yet we know how the Lord loves a cheerful giver. We know that man will spare no expense in his pursuit of his sin. But you know there's a price to pay. For the wages of sin is death. Remember preaching on that text, and I gave it the title, "The Worst Paid Workers Who Never Go on Strike." The wages of sin is death, but they never go on strike. So there's a price to pay, and the children of Israel paid a severe price for their sin and their participation in a mongrel religion. Look there at chapter 32 and the verse 28. "And the children of Eli did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men." Wages of sin is death. So we have seen then, with regard to this mongrel religion, the complaint in the camp. They complained over Moses and his delay coming down the mount, and what that led to. As well as the complaint in the camp, we have the corruption in the camp of Israel. So Aaron received the good or the gold from the hand of the people. And when he received the golden earrings, Aaron went to work immediately. Look at verse 4. "And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, 'These be thy gods of Israel, which brought us up out of the land of Egypt.'" What an insult to God. What corruption there was in the camp. Regarding this corruption, we consider Aaron and his work. Verse 4, we have read it there. He went to work straight away. It took a lot of work and industry to make this idol. We see, first of all, the idol was the calf. We're told it was a calf. He made a molten calf. Now we might ask ourselves, Why did Aaron make a calf? Why not some other four-footed beast? Well, that's simple. Because the calf was an idol god of the Egyptians. An idol god of the Egyptians, which was called Apis. A-P-I-S. That was the god of the Egyptians. And so it is obvious. While Aaron may have come out of Egypt, Egypt did not come out of Aaron. And there you have Aaron, who was supposed to be the assistant to Moses, his brother. And there you have Aaron, who had been redeemed out of Egypt when the blood of the Lamb was shed. And what's he doing? He's living like the heathen of Egypt. No difference. No difference whatsoever. Instead of worshipping God, after less than 40 days, Aaron and the children of Israel began worshipping an idol, breaking God's commandments. How many today claim to be the redeemed of the Lord, but their lives don't show the evidence of that? They seem to be more in love with the world than they are in love with the Lord. Paul was able to say that he crucified the world, crucified the flesh. He lived a separated life. And John tells us, 1 John 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. As well as Aaron and the calf, we see Aaron and his care. Unfortunately, it wasn't a care for the children of Israel. It was more a care for the idol. What do we read in verse 4? And he received them at their hand, the golden earrings, and fashioned it with a graving tool. Fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And so he had made this idol, made it into a molten calf, but then he took a graving tool after that. In other words, we find here that Aaron wanted to attend to detail. He took the graving tool. He gave attention to detail. He gave attention to detail. Just the way we ought to give attention to God's work. We have looked at Aaron's work and the detail that he attended to in making this golden calf. Oh, that we would attend to God's work with the same diligence and attend to detail. It's not good enough to say with regard to something in the Lord's work, it'll do all right. No, it'll not do all right. It's for the Lord. It's to be our best. We're to give God our best. Whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. when the Lord gave the pattern for the tabernacle, he expected the people to give attention to detail in the building of the tabernacle. Because we read that Aaron received the golden earrings and fashioned it. He paid attention to the detail of the calf. And what do we read regarding the Lord's instruction to Israel and the tabernacle? Exodus 26 and verse 30. And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion of it thereof. In other words, God wanted Israel to attend to detail in the building of the tabernacle. That's the way it ought to be when it comes to doing work for God. That's the way it ought to be. As well as the work, you have the worship. So it is clear that more than one idol was made. Verse 4, these be thy gods, plural. O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. What blasphemy! God brought them out of Egypt. But here they're saying, these be the gods that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. What blasphemy. What an insult to the God of heaven. But you know something? Unfortunately, Aaron didn't end there in just making the golden calf. For we're told in verse 5, and when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Aaron had thrown off all restraints. He made the molten calf. He crafted it with a tool. He then fashioned it. He then built an altar. He then went further and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Aaron had absolutely no authority to make a proclamation regarding a feast. In Exodus 23, verses 14 to 17, God had designated the days for certain feasts. God had. But again, Aaron trampled that underfoot. And he proclaimed the feast. Absolutely no authority to do any such thing. To set aside another day for this purpose. Here we have an example of a mongrel religion. What did he say? Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. It's hard to believe, isn't it? A feast to the Lord. As he stood before the idol he had just made. Here is a feast to the Lord. That's this apostate mongrel religion that Israel took part in. You go back to Exodus 20. Verse 23. As we have often said, you read through verses of Scripture or portions of Scripture, there's words you could overlook and not note the significance of them. Well, here's such an example. in verse 23, ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. Look at the words. Ye shall not make with me. In other words, when you worship me, you'll not have idols as well. You'll not worship with me gods of silver and of gold. And that's exactly what Aaron and the children of Israel were doing. They were endeavoring to worship God with the idols. Once again, blatant transgression of the law of God. What did the Lord say in Matthew 6 and verse 24? You cannot serve God and mammon. For you will either hate the one and love the other. Where's the love for God here? There's no love for God. There's a love for an idol. There is a love for a false religion. Israel held to the golden calf and despised the God. Yes, I use that word despise. They held to the golden calf and despised the God who brought them out of Egypt. There cannot be any golden calves in our lives. Our heart is the God's throne. He will not share it with anyone else. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. The work, the worship, and the wickedness. We see now that the mongrel religion led to in verse 6. They rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. You notice something? They rose up early. They rose up early. They were eager to go out and to worship their golden calves. They were eager to worship their false god. So they rose up early. How enthusiastic they were about their mongrel religion. And then they offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. Oh, that we were as enthusiastic about our worship for God. What did they bring? Burnt offerings, peace offering. Of course, they don't mention sin offering. No, there's no mention of sin offering. Sin offerings is a type of Christ's work on the cross. And of course, apostate mongrel religion has no time for sin offering. No time for the cross work. No time for the shed blood. We see their debauchery, their depraved behavior. Such wickedness is difficult to comprehend. For again, in chapter 32 and verse 25, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked, unto their shame, their shame, their shame, among their enemies. Such was the state of the camp of Israel. That's the fruit of mongrel religion. God condemned the camp in Israel, as well as the complaint in the camp, the corruption of the camp. God condemned. You have God's word and you have God's wrath, God's indignation. I trust that as we have considered this awful apostate mongrel religion, that we'll have learned something from it, that we'll not fall in to the same temptations that the children of Israel fell into. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. O Lord our God, Thy word sounded out a solemn warning. Lord, may we ever keep our eyes on the God that brought us out of our Egypt, delivered us from the house of bondage, saved us by His grace. Lord, we pray for those who are still in their house of bondage, don't worship the God of heaven. Lord, we have seen that the wages of sin is death. Speak to hearts today. Bless the word. Be with us, Lord, throughout this day. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.